In 1986, Donna Hilton was sentenced to 25 years to life for kidnapping and second-degree murder. Inside Bedford Hills Correctional Facility, she was inmate number 86G0206. Hilton was released in 2012, and outside of the maximum security prison, she was lost.
I spent almost 3 decades, so it's a lot. It's overwhelming. You know, there's no preparation for someone like me who spent overwhelming majority of their life in prison, in an abnormal environment where you don't really have what society, the world has.
The victim of abuse by her mother and later her adoptive parents, Hilton says she never learned the tools for how to navigate the outside world. But now she's dedicating her life to fighting for justice for other women like her, women who are trying to overcome the link between trauma and incarceration. According to a 2016 study from the Vera Institute of Justice, 86% of women in prison had experienced sexual violence before being incarcerated. Her story is the subject of a new memoir, A Little Piece of Light, a memoir of hope, prison, and life unbound.
It says a lot when we don't value women. And you can see it in the way we're treated. 72% of women that are incarcerated are mothers. And if you're a woman, you don't even really have visits. The family's ripped apart. And whatever's left of it, they don't really go see the mother. But you can go to any male facility and it's packed. I promise you, any day. All right? And why is that? I met so many women and girls just in Bedford who actually didn't physically commit a crime, number one, or they didn't physically commit because they wanted to. They were forced to. But we never look at the individual. We never look at the individual's story. We never see the person as a human being.
And we being the criminal justice system or...
And people, because we're fed a narrative, right? I walked down the street, you would never know I spent 27 years in prison for kidnapping and murder. You would just never know. So who are we really talking about? It brings about a fear that is false. We create these narratives to make people afraid, to make people react, to make people do what we want to do. And they're wrong.
I'll just give you one data point. We found that in 2016, 86% of women who were in prison had experienced some type of sexual violence before being incarcerated.
86 that we know about. My experience is that, and I know women right now who have not told, because it's a place some people just can't revisit.
What role do you think trauma played in your life?
The trauma played, because I was my natural mother, because I come from Jamaica, the island of Jamaica. I know that my mother, my natural mother, had a mental disease, you know, mental health issue, and she was very abusive. But she would fluctuate between the two, like loving a mother. But that's my mom, right? I was my mother, the only mother I knew I had. By the time they brought me to this country, and I didn't know I was never going back home, I just thought I was just going to Disneyland and I would be fine. I didn't get it as a kid. So that trauma from my mother's abuse, then being ripped away from my mother, then being brought to this country to a couple who then started abusing me, because by the time I turned nine and a half, I started being taken into a closet and being raped, sodomized, all kinds of things. And so I was a child. So immediately I was disassociating. I was trying to, you know, my body went into survival mode. My mind as a child can't fight back. You don't know how to fight back because trauma paralyzes you. And as a child, oftentimes you take all that stuff in. You know what's wrong. You know what's bad, but you start blaming yourself. And so in blaming yourself, you lose yourself more and more and more and more and more. And it kept happening. There's one thing I've learned quickly. Predators know prey. And I was prey from childhood.
Was there a moment that you became very aware that you were connecting trauma with your past criminal history? Or do you separate those things?
So let me say, I don't have a criminal history. I'm not a criminal. I have to be clear on that. The crime that I was forced to be in was the That was it. And I would not have been involved in that crime if I didn't have a gun pulled on me and I was told what to do. My life was threatened. I was raped. And all, I mean, I was a victim in the crime. So I have to be clear in saying that. But even to get to that place where I became like I was forced into a situation, that's because I couldn't understand or I didn't see. I didn't have the guidance. I was a kid still. Only thing that I knew was that I was focused on was when I go home, am I going to be hurt again?
You also talk about other women you've met while you were incarcerated. What are the types of stories that you've heard from the women that you've met that tell you that there's a link between trauma and criminality? I mean, in this case, right? There is a link in between those things, or you don't think so?
Yes, I do believe on the greater, yeah, there is always a before. Poverty is violence and it's trauma. So we don't want to look and understand that certain communities are so impoverished and conditioned to believe that they're not worthy to do anything else but exactly deal with what they have, that they go on to do things that can be labeled as criminal, right? And so it doesn't mean that it's okay, that it's right. But we have to understand why it happens. And so, again, to your point, trauma can lead to criminal acts, yes, but why? And oftentimes now what we see, if not the vast majority, it's based because mental health. The reason is because of mental health. Prisons and jails have become the response to mental health. We are criminalizing behaviors that are out of people's control.
And well, that's what I was going to ask you too, is like when you were incarcerated, did you receive any sort of help to probe these issues a little deeper? Or any of the women that you were working with?
It's kind of contradictory, right? When I say I was fortunate enough to have been put in prison at a time where the warden at that time understood that the women in her prison have been through some stuff. And so she allowed for us to create programs that we knew we needed to help ourselves. So we've developed the family violence program to address each and every area of abuse in a woman, in a girl's life. And it went from ritual abuse, sexual abuse as a child sexual abuse, adult sexual abuse, family. I mean, they're different components, but they're all trauma, right? They're all violence.
I want you to tell us about, because I think those are all critical points, but I want you to tell us a little bit about what you do, the organization that you have, From Life to Life.
Yeah. So From Life to Life, though, I was thinking about a name to define basically what I'm doing. And I was like, well, I went from doing life to living life because I was imprisoned before I went to prison. And I recognize quickly that my journey is a journey of so many other women. And I hope that my story, I hope that my walk maybe can instigate in them, can show them, hey, you're valuable, you're worthy, you're beautiful, you're amazing, you're a lot of beautiful things.
Donna Hilton is a criminal justice reform advocate and senior justice fellow at the nonprofit organization CATAL. Her new memoir called A Little Piece of Light is out today.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.